Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore all avenues of transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes it feels counterintuitive, like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and today's show is brought to you in association with NasalGuard, a drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants as well as indoor and outdoor allergens. It's perfect for travellers and also pet lovers, amongst others. Now, regular listeners will know that I'm all in favour of drug-free well-being support. So I was delighted to discover NasalGuard. No nasties, and on top of that, it focuses on prevention rather than cure. Necessity is the mother of invention, so they say, and the story of NasalGuard definitely follows that narrative. So I was very happy to welcome to the show Ashok Vahi, the inventor and company founder, to tell us the story. I started by asking Ashok to explain exactly what NasalGuard is and what's so special about it.
First of all, I must thank you, JJ, to have met you here and your audience and UK Health for bringing it to so many people in the nation. And your question is very intriguing. Early on to many folks, and it's a great question that it's not one aspect of it. It's the besides the ease in applying the product around your nostrils. It's the simplicity of the product and the basic science behind the product, and it's being water-based with safe ingredients behind the product. I'm talking about NasalGuard Airborne Particle Blocker. As the name states, that airborne particles are there in billions and millions, hundreds of millions per cubic meter. And smaller the particle, more of them are there to begin with. So to answer your question specifically, it's the effectiveness, meaning efficacy, safety, price per dose, meaning affordability. It's the non-medicinal drug-free nature of it.
We like the drug-free nature of it.
which is very important and non-irritating. You know, you apply something on the skin, people apply skincare products like conditioners and moisturizers. So I think I answered your question fully that it's the, I would say at least half a dozen features besides where it can be used are the main important of the product NasalGuard.
Well, let's get into a little bit more specifics then. First of all, talking about how to apply it, I have just applied NasalGuard and put some around my nose. First of all, it is very easy to apply. And it's not like Vaseline. Now, most people who have tried anything like, a menthol application or something like that and put it around their nose, A, it's very greasy, and B, you know, it can be quite irritating. No irritation, no greasiness. And anyway, something like Vaseline isn't great for you, is it?
I address to all those people who feel Vaseline will do the same job or Vaseline is the same. I need to tell them that is farthest away from Vaseline. First of all, even for, people who are worried about their looks, Vaseline shines, you know, like it's an oil. And you can see from a distance and it spoils your cosmetic to begin with. And people are allergic to smell of Vaseline to begin with. There are many aspects of it. And the other aspect is that Vaseline does not have the science behind that That's like applying glue around your nose, and whatever particles come in contact with that. So if Vaseline works like 15-20%, this thing will work like 1985-1995%. So
Right.
that's the difference, because we have the science behind our nasal guard that I invented long time ago is a proven physics, electrophysics phenomena. The health aspect is that Vaseline, which is essentially petrolatum-based product, it is a hydrocarbon. As it evaporates, and it does evaporate with temperature and inhalation, it tends to go to your lungs and stick there forever. Makes it heavier for us to breathe, because it tends to ozonize air. For somebody who's interested in oxygen, oxygen is O2 and ozone is O3. So it tends to bring 2 towards 3, meaning that atomic weight of oxygen versus ozonized hydrocarbon will be heavier and more work will be needed by the lungs. So that's, you don't want to spoil your lungs by applying hydrocarbon in that concentration just outside your nostrils.
You see, that's very interesting. So for a lot of people, they wouldn't realize that actually that could be damaging. And then nasal guard is completely safe. So maybe we can get into what nasal guard really is and how it works, because it looks like Vaseline, but it absolutely doesn't feel like it, or it doesn't work like it. So go into a little bit more depth about what it is and what it does.
Okay. It's easier to say what it is not first, that it's not a drug. It's not a medicine. There's no chemical reaction between the ingredients themselves or ingredients or the compound formulated product in your body on a biochemical level. It's drug-free. It's water-based product. Water is what we consume. Air is what has moisture, and it's product like that. And if you apply it, you'll feel that it dries just like your a good skin moisturizer will, face cream will moisturize, which is water-based.
Yeah, I felt that. Definitely experienced that.
And as opposed to Vaseline, to some people it's irritating. Nasal guard, it's not. It's with same ingredients by which you make, commonly are used in hair and skin and hand conditioners at a cosmetic level. And it has preservatives in it to preserve the formulation for its life. And besides that, it has the ingredients to produce the science within the product, which I'll talk about a little later. It makes the product cationic, meaning it is a positive ion technology, and we apply positive ion technologies in a skin format around the nose, nostrils, above the upper lip, just at the entryway of the nostrils, so that the air that comes through comes in contact with this, with the charge. It's like a magnet for the airborne particles to capture them and deposit them. And I'll bring the question, but not answer it till you want me to. That most people think that, you know, if you're going to attract the particles and they're going to stick around your nostrils and above upper lip, why won't you be spoiling your looks? Why won't you see a deposit like a air automobile filter?
Yes.
But when the question comes, I'll address it in detail. And it does not. And I'll tell you why.
Well, tell me why. And also, how does it work? You said you'd go into the science later, but let's go into the science kind of now, because I'm now intrigued to find out how it works and why you don't see any deposit.
Okay. Well, how it works is that, you know, it's a electrostatics, physics, as we call it, on the Western side, physics 101. Even ninth grader in UK high school is taught, senior Cambridge student is taught, opposite ions attract each other and like repel each other. Opposite poles like magnet, repel, attract, and so there's positive ion in the product. Our body is generally neutral or slightly negative, but airborne particles by their nature, either they are negatively charged particles to make them air flowing in air. Some of them, which are produced as positively charged, like certain pollens from flowers, certain items are produced, generated as positive charge as they leave their source, let's say the flower or blooming bird or whatever it is. But in contact with other negatively charged particles over course of time, they become negatively charged. By rubbing with air, that's also how junior level physics, that's how we used to produce negatively charged rod in a physics lab, that you rub it with cat skin and that will give you, and you see that dust sticks to a balloon very quickly, or your spiky hair in a very dry weather, that's all same charge repelling hair. And you need to neutralize with a conditioner, which is a positively charged product. But the intensity of the positively charged is not to light a lamp, but it's enough to capture small particles. So it deposits there. And the reason you don't see it being deposited is extremely understandable, which is particles which are airborne, they are invisible. Most of them which are airborne are invisible, and they are invisible in a lot, you know, I mean, in bunch. So 30 microns commonly is the size, micron being 1 millionth of a meter or 1,000th of a millimeter, is an extremely small size. Your naked eye cannot see particles generally below 30 microns. And those particles tend to settle down on the ground by their weight. Particles which are airborne are less than that, and they are airborne. And when they are airborne and they deposit, if you could see them, you could see them anywhere.
But it strikes me that pollen you can see in a larger amount. So, but even pollen is, you know, you're not seeing that on the top of your lip or around your
yes,
nose.
Yes, very intelligent question, or intellectually put. Pollen that you see is deposited on the top of the automobiles or ground or yellow all over the pavements. That's the heavier pollen.
Right.
The pollen which is truly light, most pollen is very light.
Yeah.
And they're small. That won't settle down quickly. Pollen which is generated in New Jersey typically will reach Manhattan about 45 miles away or 100 miles away if it catches a jet stream in less than 20 minutes. And by the time it reaches, it's fairly negatively charged and it's going to be airborne for, I would say, good 3 to 4, maybe 5 days.
I understand now. And I guess when you think about it, it's not as likely to be the heavy stuff that causes the typical hay fever allergic reaction. And fascinating, isn't it, to hear how Ashok is using such basic physics to stop these tiny particles getting into the airwaves. I was amazed, too, to hear how far pollen can travel in the air and how quickly. Well, we'll hear more from Ashok in a few minutes. First, though, it's time for a short break to hear these messages. Back after this.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my guest today, Ashok Wahi, founder of Nasal Guard. Now, we were talking about pollen before the break, and I asked Ashok to explain a little more about the correlation between pollen size and allergic reaction.
Smaller the pollen, smaller the airborne particle, more allergic they will be. For example, emissions from cars, you know, automobiles in front of you, factory fumes, pollution in the air. Some people are allergic to fog.
Yeah.
They are. And fog is, you know, it doesn't even settle down.
Yeah. Yeah, well, true fog is mostly mist with a lot of particles included in it.
Right, which, particles are sticking with it.
Yeah.
That's why it's fog.
Yeah, exactly.
The dust particles of smaller size with moisture are converting it to a visible smoke-like, steam-like situation.
Yeah.
And that becomes fog. It's a low-temperature steam.
Yeah, I remember when I was very young, the last days of fog in London. We don't get fog in London anymore. It's just mist. But
London
I do,
fog, that's a brand name too, you know.
Yeah, I know. But I do remember. I'm old enough to remember fog in London, real fog.
Right.
So that's fascinating. So it's going to catch most of the allergens and most of the, and what about viruses too, that sort of thing?
We don't claim virus, quote unquote, as is, because it's not a drug. That's a drug claim.
Right.
But we say particles as small as virus size.
Gotcha.
Because viruses tend to be 2 to 7. Some are 0.5 to 1, I would say 3 microns. But particles even less than half a micron or 0.1 micron particles have been found to be caught. And smaller the particle, according to our latest technology, which is microfiltration, which gave birth to or which led to the product called NasalGuard Airborne Particle Blocker, is microfiltration.
Yeah.
It's microfiltration of submicroscopic particles. And that's why all over, you know, the customer base, air travelers is the single largest, I would say, consumer block, which is confined in a space for 2 to 6 hours, 2 to 10 hours, sometimes less, in a highly contaminated air, which has not much of the outside, which is called ventilated air, but it's recirculated. They are in smell of food in the from the trolleys and other situations. They're in an environment which is highly contaminated. And this is one of the solutions and precautions. The point I'm making is as follows, that the size of the particles, we say that virus-sized particles
right.
as small as that.
But yeah.
That's a comparative. That's how people compare. You know, bacteria can be larger size. Some bacteria won't even be airborne, but it can be. But germs,
of course.
Germs are airborne. You know, they can be touched with the nose or the other factor, JJ, your audience might want to understand is that it's a water-based product. We sweat, we sneeze, we are amongst people, we have a tendency to wipe our face. And so we say that, you know, reapply after you feel that it is gone. It's not forever. It's not waiting for your next day bath or shower to be wiped away.
Yeah.
Unlike petrolatum, that you need to have a thorough wash.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that makes total sense. And I was going to ask you about the nasal guard for air travelers, because personally speaking, one of the aspects of air travel that I find very challenging is sitting in a tin can with all this awful air around me, swirling around me that isn't fresh in any way and is just continually circulating all the toxicity around you, if I can put it that way. And so for a lot of air travelers, I think this will be a fantastic, a revolution, in fact, in how they travel, because a lot of people really are wary these days because we know so much more about how the air in aeroplanes is not particularly clean. So I think this is a real breakthrough for a lot of frequent travelers.
Yes, I would like to address that fact. On NasalGuard Airborne Particle Blocker, which is our base product or the top line, as they say, the parent product, has one small bullet saying that contaminated air.
Mm-hmm.
But contaminated air constitutes of so many factors, what contaminates it. So we had a situation to get more attention from air travelers that we know that they're not worried about mold and pollen in the air at that time. They're not worried about head dander and hair. They're not worried about dust. But they're worried about air's contamination and polluted air that they're inhaling. So we created nasal guard for air travelers. And that nasal guard does exactly what the nasal guard product is intended to do, but explains how air travelers can be benefited. Your point is very well understood and taken that just like you are very cautious about traveling by air, I would say Heathrow could be one of the largest air traveler site, Heathrow Airport, in the world, probably, or one of the largest.
One of the largest,
so many
certainly.
Millions, mm-hmm. One of so many millions of people pass through it every day, every week, every month, every year. And there's some kind of phobia, not only being in the air, in the aeroplane, in the tin can, as you said, but at the airport itself, it's a crowded space. People are running into all kinds of contaminants there, including each other. And being in an aeroplane, if one person sneezes in the middle aisle, 12 or 16 or 15 people are just scared. You know, what did we inhale just now? And imagine only 2% of the people have to be sneezing in a 300 population place. And they are enough to scare everybody.
That's not a pretty thought. And as you were talking, my mind went to London and Heathrow, I was suddenly thought, well, the commuters on the London Underground, I could see that this would be great for them too, because when you're on the Underground at rush hour and you are squashed up against somebody else, I can see
I've traveled in the tube. In the underground numerous times in my life. And I don't remember in the past 25, 30 years. By the way, underground is more crowded as compared to New York subway many times. You know, I mean, I've seen that personally. I've traveled peak hours just because that system is a lot more concise and I would say deeper under the ground as compared to subway, which is a vast.
Yes.
So we have a lot more openings to do that. Bottom line for what I'm saying is that I have not traveled the tube without nasal guard or never flown, taken a flight without nasal guard. Actually, so many people around me, as is American Express used to say, that don't leave home without it. That's what I think about the tube in London.
Well, I wish when I was commuting on the tube in London that I had nasal guard, I can tell you, because I often used to sit there or stand there. As
I was thinking of asking you this question.
Yeah.
I think you applied it. How simple did you find it to apply nasal guard?
Very simple. It's as easy as anything. And as we were saying, the wonderful thing is that, you know, after you've applied it, you don't feel as if you've got anything on your face, as it were. So as you were saying earlier, it sort of sinks in a bit like a face cream would, you know, it just disappears like a really good face cream. And I used the unscented one because you do have a menthol version as well, don't you? Yeah.
Yes. The other benefit is for people who use makeup, petrolatum cannot be applied neither above, neither before or after makeup, because it will spoil your makeup. Contrary to that, nasal guard can be applied before or after, and it will work the same.
Yeah, which is great to know as well.
Right.
For anybody who does wear makeup, yes, I mean, it was very, very easy to apply. And I can
see... And you take no more than 1 or maximum two pin drops. And
yeah.
it surprises people that
yeah.
how come this little quantity of this gel, serum, whatever you want to call it, lotion, there are numerous names. We decided to choose gel
yeah.
because gel conveys more water-based than anything else.
Yeah, no, it's quite extraordinary, and you do not need very much of it. And if I was still living in London and commuting on the tube every day, I certainly would not leave home without it. I'd be using it all the time. Luckily, I live in a place which has a lot fresher air, and I don't do a tube commute anymore. But I wanted to ask you. So you say that you, for years, have always used nasal guard. I am so fascinated to know how nasal guard came about. What brought you to creating this product?
Okay. Very rarely I'm able to share the most favorite part of my story to an audience because I've been taught British English, right from my childhood. So I'm torn between the Indian and the American and the British accent. So
well, it's
you
fine.
Know what I'm talking about,
I
and
do.
Your audience will understand that. I was so tempted to that there's a way I could be asked that.
And we will indeed hear that story shortly. But first, it's time for another break. Stay with us to hear all about how Nasal Guard came into being. I'll be back with Ashok Vahi right after these messages. Stay tuned for more.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my guest today is Ashok Vahi, founder of Nasal Guard. Ashok is also the product's inventor and developer, and I asked him before the break to tell us the story of how Nasal Guard came about. Here's Ashok again.
I'm an inventor and a scientist. I have a Master of Science from NYU. I'm an engineer, mechanical from a university called Thapar University from India, Punjab, Patiala. And having said that, my older daughter, Ekta Vahi, used to suffer from cat allergies. And when she was very young, she was, to the best of my knowledge, no more than 8 years old. She has, in our neighborhood, they were her friends, and they used to exchange each other's residence to play and home to play or sleepovers. And two friends, one particularly nearby, had a cat as a pet at the home. And she, my daughter Ekta, just couldn't visit that home because my daughter was so severely allergic to cat.
Mm.
And she has been a great student and all her life. And like any other parent, you try to bring some over-the-counter, medicine and give it to her. The medicine worked okay, but it had side effects. She started to feel drowsy in the classroom, and it started to show when you are drowsy, you can study and you can take part in the same way. And I thought, as a father, I have to resolve this problem. And I started to see how can I intervene without giving her or do something without giving her a outside drug product, which will not. So that was my inspiration to create a product. And when I started to search technologies, there were filters available for the nose, even at that time. I'm talking about early 1990s, 1991, 92. And the challenge became that I found filters which people had to insert in nose. They didn't look pretty at all. It was like a filter at the butt of the cigarette, like a filter cigarette.
Nobody
And
wants
that doesn't
that.
look pretty and it
No.
doesn't work right. And so I said it has to be invisible as to work. And safety was a great aspect. Never do I point out that my motivation was not to create a product for sake of money or business. I was trying to solve my own daughter's problem. And one thing led to the other. It came very clear to me that I have to create a water-based type of product around the nose, which will stop. And then I started to dig particle science and at the library of Princeton University early on. And I came across that there are some naturally created waxes like bee wax and all that. But that was also a wax, like a heavier product, not water-based. That research led to me cationic quaternary agents. And I wanted to create a cationic lotion strong enough to catch airborne particles, and experimenting took it. It's a message to your entrepreneurial mind people. Try again till you succeed. I'm going to be honest that first 82 trials of the formulation,
82.
82, 8 plus 2,
Oh.
worked for a short time, didn't work at all, or worked not in the right way, all that. And I didn't lose hope. I
Wow.
still kept trying.
How many years did you try? How many years were you
It
working
took
on
me two
this?
and a half years because one experiment take about 10 to anywhere between 6 to 12 variations
Yeah.
because you identify an ingredient before you rule it out. You try different formulations or compositions of that. So it took quite a bit of time to get to the first product, and many issues came that it was smelly. The ingredients was a very bad smell. It didn't stick properly, or it was visible, or so my daughter was helping me tell me, oh, it worked, but I don't like the stickiness of it. Even if it was water-based, that some of the bottom line or summary is that it took a lot of trials to produce the first one, and then I did the patent search. There was no technology like that. Fortunately, there's no other technology like that even today because I've been constantly innovating what I've done in higher domains. And so the phase one of the story is my daughter was the inspiration to create a product. And the first patent and the first formulation, I think, was granted in 1994 for nasal guard under electrostatically charged cationic product for nasal application. And that led to the evolvement of the product till 2019, like from
Wow.
1990s to that, when I got other two patents for microfiltration. Such polymers were non-existent at that time, totally.
Right.
So I'll conclude after your second question on the subject that if I miss something, feel free to inquire and I'll plug the holes.
Oh no, I mean I'm fascinated. You know, it's I hear this story, not your story, but a similar story so often. That the catalyst for creating something like you've created is always because either the person, the inventor, has suffered from it, or they know somebody who has suffered from it. So it's such a common story, but it's great to hear. And of course, your daughter, I don't know whether she did. Some people take antihistamines because they have these allergies, but antihistamines in the past really made you feel drowsy. And I don't think so much now. But who wants to take a drug to deal with the effect of something when they can just prevent it in the first place?
Very loaded question. Histamines created by allergic reaction is a safety measure. It's an immune response of your body. Body hasn't got anything wrong working yet. Body just took a rope to be a snake and it reacted. It saw a substance which is harmless to be harmful to save you from that. Flooding it with water, which is as histamine, to dilute it. And that is a nuisance for you. And you kill it with the anti of that, you know, which is antihistamine.
Mm-hmm.
And people grow out of it. You take one antihistamine, and then after 2, 3, 4 years, you go to a different one because your body got immune to it.
Yeah.
And then you keep changing. Now there are other products. Which are not antihistamines, but the other products, they're all masking it.
Mm-hmm.
Till you reach a point in your life that none of these drugs work on you. It may take 20 years, 30 years, whatever time it takes, but they reach a point. And at that point, they say, what now? And the doctor says, I'll have to give you shots now. And shots are what? Shots are exactly the same substance that you are allergic to.
Wow, yeah.
And they give you, flood you with that so that the body can't even react to it. So you playing with your own body's autoimmune system.
Yes. And so as I was saying, better to prevent rather than go down the road of trying to deal with a reaction. And just generally, prevention, I always say, is better than cure. So this is a very, in some ways, simple product, in other ways not, because, you know, obviously it took a lot of work to get it right and many years to get it right. But it's on the face of it, a very, very simple product, simple to use, and it just simply acts as a barrier. It blocks.
You're so right when you say prevention is better than cure in British mathematical terms. An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure.
Yes.
And pound here is taken two ways. Pound is the pound sterling too.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the cheapest pound you can spend because cost per dose of one application from a 3-gram tube is less than 6 to 7 pence.
Right.
Now, what can you get? What can you get in 6 to 7 pence delivered in a packaged product or picked up at your residence and apply it? I bet a dose of histamines will be like 20 cents, 20 pence. Flonase will be even more than that. And they are drugs.
No, I'm with you on that, 100% with you on that. I mean, I certainly was impressed by the application. Now, I am not, I don't think anyway, exposed to anything that I'm allergic to or that I'm not sort of exposed to contaminated air at the moment. I'm in my own place. And when I go outside, I'm by the seaside. So I get, you know, lovely fresh air, but I can see that the next time I head on down south to London, I'd be using nasal guard. I tell you, sitting on the train, just, you know, I think it would be great because the trains are the same as aeroplanes. You know, you have the same issue. You have air circulating that can have all kinds of contaminants in there. So, no, I
appreciate what you just said. Let me say something which I don't want to leave a part of the audience. Some people are phobic to flying. They may not like it, but they have a pet situation.
Yeah.
We have nasal guard airborne particle blocker for pet lovers.
Yeah.
People who have dogs and cats at their home. Cold and flu is another phenomena. People relate it with the season, you know, but generally cold and flu, colds, in America, they say a common person will get a cold about 48 times a year, whether they notice it or not. It's so common. That's why they call it common cold. And there's no cure for it till today. And nobody wants to make a cure to begin with anyway for something like that routine. And then there are others also, products, cold and flu, and there's a category, people who are just allergy sufferers. They don't know what the allergy is from. They don't care to know. They can buy, they can get to allergy blocker. So there are many choices for people. And in your country, in England, there may be 15 million or more people who are allergic, looking for a better solution.
No, I think you're right. I think in any case, I mean, even during hay fever season, it really does make people miserable having that allergy. So yeah, I think it's a great possibility for them to try it. So we're coming to the end now. It's been an absolute joy to meet you and to talk about Nasal Guard, which again, I know I've said it before, but I'll say it again, is such a beautifully simple product. But I love the fact that there are no drugs involved. I love the fact that it, you know, it can work on prevention rather than us having to cure some kind of effect, or, you know, if we've taken on board something which isn't helpful for our systems.
And I reciprocate the thanks that you expressed to your followers, listeners, and UK Health listeners. UK Health is a great partner. They reached out. We reached out to each other, and we have a relationship now. We hope people listen to them, and we'll bring more shows such as this. And through you, as we advance and have opportunity to talk more about it.
Brilliant.
I appreciate, and thank you very much for giving an opportunity to be in front of your listeners and you.
Thank you. I look forward to more. Thank you so much.
Thank you, JJ. Thanks a lot.
So there you are. Sounds like it really could be transformative, especially if you suffer from pet allergies. And by the way, I also tried the menthol version of Nasal Guard just to see how that was. I was pleasantly surprised to find that the menthol smell is really quite mild and far from overpowering, as menthol can be sometimes. As Ashok said, we'll be bringing you more about the product in due course, so tune in for that. And I'll be reporting on my own experiences with it. And just for the record, Ashok and the company are based in New Jersey in the United States, and that's where he was speaking to me from. But you don't have to be in the United States to get your hands on some Nasal Guard. If you want to try it yourself, all you have to do is click on the link on the UK Health Radio homepage to buy. That takes you straight through to nasalguard.co.uk. Remember, you can follow me as The Practical Alchemist on Facebook and Instagram. And if you feel in need of energetic support, do check out my website, safehavenhealing.uk. You can book time with me there. You'll find lots of information in my blog, as well as audio tracks to help you de-stress, at my other website, thepracticalalchemist.uk. It would be great if you'd register for my newsletter there. I've got lots of exciting plans for 2024, so you'll want to make sure that you get all the updates and you don't miss out. Talking of not missing anything, make sure you check out our Health Triangle magazine for some great health information. It's packed with features and news from all your favourite UK Health Radio presenters and contributors. And you'll find the link to that on the UK Health Radio homepage too. And that just about wraps things up for today. Thank you for listening. I always appreciate it. And I hope that you'll join me again for more practical alchemy and personal transformation. So until next time, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.